We're here now at the beginning of Lent, and as I said to you, you heard the urgency in the gospel that Jesus said. Now look, you gotta be sober. You know, a day is setting in against you or upon you, and you need to be ready for it. See? And don't be like those who are eating, drinking, and marrying, laughing at Noah for building a silly boat. Don't be like that. See? You be sharp. You be smart. You be wise and prudent. You look to that day because either the Lord's coming to us or we're going to Him. But we will stand before Him one day in judgment. And He says, you gotta get ready. Gotta get ready. There's such an urgency that Jesus had about these things, not just today's gospel, but almost all the parables really are parables about getting ready. Urgent, you know, be ready because the master of the house is returning. Be ready because the groom is coming. Make sure you got your lamps trimmed and burning. Over and over again, I could go to you. There's a wedding feast and you got to accept the invitation or be outside. And even the prodigal son, the father is urging the second son to come into the feast before it's time to close the door. And so again, over and over, all the parables, so much urgency by Jesus to get ready, ready for the judgment day. From some of the sleepy saints, not so much urgency, huh? Not too much urgency. So again, we want to take up this idea of the urgency of Jesus in this Advent season and really all throughout the Gospels. Now with that in mind, you heard the Gospel, and fundamentally it's once again an urgent cry from Jesus to get ready. Don't goof off. Don't play around because the day will set in. It'll set in and you'll be unprepared. Okay. That's the gospel. But I'd like to say, well, then how are we going to get ready? See? And I'd like to look at the letter to the Romans. I'd like to look to the letter to the Romans in the 13th chapter, which we read today in the epistle. And I'd like to see that there's a kind of a recipe for readiness there. So let me just list them and we'll look at them. In order to be ready, we got to let the Lord help us in these following ways. We got to wake up. Hello. Wake up. Clean up. Sober up. Lighten up. And dress up. Okay. So let's take a look at these items here that the Lord gives us through St. Paul. Again, Romans 13 is what I'm preaching out of. Now, first of all, we got to wake up. Paul just says this, and you heard it, but I'll repeat some of it. You know the time. Now, before I get any further, do you? I'm not talking about the clock. Do you know the time? All right. You know the time. It is the hour now for you to wake from sleep. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first set out and first believed. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day. Now the image here of waking up, you know, let's talk about when we're asleep. You know, we're kind of unaware. People could come and go around us, and if we're sleeping pretty deeply, we won't have any idea. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night, what day is it? You know, where am I? Okay, what day is it? What do I have to do? You know, you get the idea. We're sleepy, we're kind of unaware, our brains are a little bit foggy, we're not really all that clued in. That's not how we're supposed to be. St. Paul isn't talking about physical sleep here, all right? He's using sleep as an image. We got to wake up, see? Morally, we got to wake up spiritually. We've got to wake up emotionally and mentally, be alert, see? Not groping around in the darkness and wondering what day it is and what appointments do I have to do today. That's not the way to live our life. You and I have to have a wakefulness that is clear. I know what I've got to do today, I know where I'm going, and I know my goal and my destination. Now the question is, do you? See, what's your goal in life? See? I hope it's to go to heaven. But in that case, it means, well, what do I got to do to get there? Well, I know I want to die loving God and my neighbor. See? And so what are some of the ways today that I can begin to cultivate the idea that on my deathbed, I will die loving God and loving my neighbor so that by the grace of God, I can enter into eternal glory? See? Who do I need to forgive? Where's my life going? What are my decisions amounting to? See, am I moving toward the kingdom of God, or is that some distant thing and I'll get to that tomorrow? See, you got to be awake. What's on the agenda? What's top of the agenda? I'm going to get on my knees and say, Lord, I'm going to need a lot of help today because the day is just starting. Huh? And at the end of the day, get on the knees and say, thank you, Lord. I know I sinned in multiple ways. I ask your mercy, but Lord, I'm grateful for what you've done, and help me to sleep well so I can serve you again tomorrow. See, but do we have a sense of where am I going? Are you living a reflective life? Or are you just sort of ambling around, drifting wherever the current leads? See? Or like a butterfly, just sort of floating on the breeze, you see? Are you directional? Do you know where you're going? Do you have a purpose-driven life? See? And that's what it means to be awake. And to be alert, we also need to be rooted in what's real and what's revealed. You see, the other problem with sleep is that we're dreamy. La-di-da-di-da. And there's a lot of dreaminess among Christians today. And it'll all be fine. And but that's not what Jesus says. He says, it'll be fine if you persevere. Persevere in running the race. If you persevere in staying with the kingdom, it'll be fine then. It's not just like, well, it'll all be fine, I'm sure, whatever. That's dreams, okay? Reality is your decisions and my decisions matter every day, and they add up to something. And we're either going to get it done or we're not. So whether or not you pray matters. Whether or not you get married and stay married matters. Whether or not you live your life just for yourself and for greedy things, or you care about the poor and serve them and care about them, stuff like that matters. It matters to God. And it's going to be part of our judgment. And he says that over and over again. So you got to get rid of all the dreamy stuff and kind of get clear and sober. We're going to look at some of that more in a moment. But you see the idea? It's time to wake up. Time to be serious. You know, but we want to just keep pushing the snooze button and roll over. You see the idea? Don't do that. It's time to get up. Time to get clear. Shake off the cobwebs. Get some holy java and have a cup of coffee with the Lord. See? And the cup of coffee is his word and prayer. And I literally take a cup of coffee when I go to pray. I go up in my room and I pray about an hour and a half each day, and I got my coffee going. All right? Me and the Lord. My coffee says in Latin, my coffee speaks Latin. It says, Nigra sum et formosa. I am black and beautiful. I sip my coffee and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. So you see the vision. It's a quote from the Song of Songs, by the way. But you see, that's an image for us, right? So again, wake up morally, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. Wake up. Be clear. Be sober. Live a reflective life. Ask those questions. Where am I going? What are my decisions amounting to? Do I love the world more than God, or do I love God? Are you worthy of Jesus Christ, or are you just worthy of this world? See? And those are the kinds of questions that come to us when we start to wake up. Now, we also need not just to wake up, but it says here to clean up. Look, the text says we are not to go around in orgies and in sexual promiscuity and lust. We are not to make provisions for the desires of the flesh. Now again, here too, we live in a world, a culture today, that's kind of dreamy and says, oh, isn't love wonderful? And just allows any kind of sexual promiscuity to kind of go unchecked and is very permitting of this kind of stuff. But that is not the world of Scripture. God cares about your sexuality and what you do with it. And anything else, you're just dreaming. You're still pushing the snooze button. Over and over again in the Scriptures, God says that we are not to go on in fornication and adultery and homosexual acts. We are not to do those things. We are not to be involved in them. That the only proper place for human sexual contact like that is in the sacredness of marriage as God sets it forth. And any of us who are not married are called to live chastely in a type of a celibacy. Now, again, I'll just give you I have a dozen scriptures, but I'll save you. I won't burden you with all of them. I'll just get you one. Ephesians chapter 5 St. Paul, the Holy Spirit writing through St. Paul, says this: as for lewd conduct, promiscuousness, or lust of any sort, let them not even be mentioned among you, let alone done, of course. Nor should there be obscene, silly, suggestive talk. All of this is out of place. Instead, give thanks, and make no mistake about this. No fornicator, no unclean or lustful person, in effect an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with worthless arguments, for these are sins that bring down God's wrath upon the disobedient. Have nothing to do with them. Now you see, we live in a world that just, it's light. No, God doesn't care what God doesn't care if I live with my girlfriend. Apparently he does. See? Apparently he does. And he will hold us to account. Now again, he's not just doing all this to take away our fun. I'll get to that in a minute. But just listen, though, to what the Lord is saying. We'd like to live in a world that approves of all this, but God doesn't. And we've got to get clear and sober about that stuff. The text says we are not to go around in orgies and all sorts of promiscuity and lust. We're not to do these things. Now again, some of these sins are committed in weakness. Not everybody who does them saying, I'm shaking their fist at God, and in malice, they're done in weakness. But they ought to be called what they are. They're sins. And we ought to avoid them. And if we don't and fall through weakness, we go to confession. But we don't go on calling good or no big deal what God calls sin. That's no way to be ready to meet God, all right? Now, why does God do this? Is God just trying to take away our fun and remove pleasure? No, no. But I ask you to consider what all the promiscuity of the last 50 to 60 years has gotten us. Sexually transmitted diseases, abortion, AIDS, teenage pregnancy, children born outside of the natural bonds of the nuclear family, improperly formed families, divorce, bitterness, jealousy, broken hearts, discarded human beings. You see, God cares about people. And so he says, be careful. One of the greatest gifts I give you is your sexuality, but it's also the thing that can cause you terrible harm if you don't learn to master it. See? So get ready for the judgment day by, first of all, waking up. Waking up to stuff like this, but also cleaning up. You know, and if there's struggles here, all right, the Lord is merciful. But don't go on calling good or no big deal what God calls sin. If you fall through weakness, get to confession. Talk to God. Work through it. Let the Lord strengthen you. You see the idea? Now, not only are we to wake up and clean up, we're to sober up. Now, it says here we're not to go about in drunkenness. Now, here too, yeah, avoid literal drunkenness, but there's more here than just literal drunkenness. What's called for here is something that the Greek scriptures call sophronius, which is sobriety. What is sobriety? Sobriety is to have a clear mind, a mind that knows what's going on. See, so we're coming out of that dreaminess and that pushing the snooze button and just going with the cultural flow on everything. We're kind of waking up and our mind is getting clear. And the word sophronius means, in addition, that a sober mind is a mind that is apt or fit for the wisdom of God. You hear the word perhaps sophia in sophronius, which means wisdom in Greek. It's the wisdom from God. And the mind is apt. A clear mind, a sober mind, is a mind that is apt or able to receive the wisdom of God. See? And that's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Now look, in order to get ready for judgment, you got to realize, and we have to all sober up about this, that the devil wants inside your mind. And so does the world. The main battleground for most of us is our minds. If the devil can just get us thinking wrong about stuff, everything else starts to collapse and fall. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And it all begins up on the old noodle, right up there where we're thinking. Our thoughts are very precious, they're very important. So the question for you and me is, what are you reading all day? What are you listening to? What are you looking at? What am I? Is it stuff that's really going to nourish and help me in that battleground of my mind? Or is it going to reinforce sin and disgrace and all types of human debasement or all sorts of bad, unbiblical values? Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of stinking thinking out there. And if we are on a steady diet of that stinking thinking, don't kid yourself. Our minds are like a sponge. And you put a sponge in muddy water, and it's coming out muddy. Now, how do you clean a dirty sponge? Well, you plunge it in the clean water, see? And you wring it out, and you plunge it back into the clean water, and you wring it out, and back into the clean water, and you wring it out. And so, what's the clean water? It's right here, God's Word, see? So, do you have a steady diet of Scripture? Do I? See? I'm required, actually, by the church to read the entire Bible every year. We do it through the Liturgy of the Office, the Liturgy of the Word, and the Liturgy of the Office, as I say, and also Daily Mass and Sunday Mass. But I'm telling you, do you have a reading plan? Do you have a discipline where you put yourself intentionally in front of God's Word? What's your plan? See, the Lord's saying, you got to get ready. Just waiting around, hoping it goes well, that's not a way of getting ready. One of the ways of getting ready is to realize that, again, we have got to sober up. We've got to have a clear mind. And a steady diet of whatever's on Facebook or whatever's on the news or whatever's in your favorite, you know, pop entertainment or the latest thing. Look, have a little diversion, fine. But really, what's your plan and my plan to be deeply rooted in the Word of God and the teachings of the church? You say, well, I don't know, what should be, what sort of some good books, Pastor? I don't know, you go over to the Shrine Bookstore, a great bookstore over there. Lots of good videos and movies, and Father Bishop Barron's done a lot of good work. There's just so much out there today. There's podcasts. I even podcast these sermons. Not that you want to listen to me again. But you get the idea, What's the plan, you know? I take a walk every day, and I'm almost always listening, if not sometimes to edifying music, but more often I'm listening to other preachers. I'm listening to podcasts about the faith. It's all out there, brethren. But again, what's your plan? What's going on in your mind, see? And so again, we're told that we have to wake up, shake off all the dreaminess and the pressing the snooze button and the I'll get it done tomorrow attitude. Getting on with the day, getting through our proper agendas, we got to wake up, we got to clean up, we got to look to our moral life. In this case, Paul focused on sexuality, but it could be on greed, it could be on our lack of forgiveness, it could be whatever the Lord's calling you to look at. Take a look at your moral condition. Me too. And likewise, not just to wake up and to clean up, but to sober up, to have a good, clear mind. I'm telling you right now, the battleground is your mind. And the devil wants in. Are you letting the Lord in? Because again, his word will put to death all the lies of the devil. Now, then here comes the next one, not just to wake up and clean up and sober up, but to lighten up. Well, this has been a pretty heavy sermon. I'm glad you talked about that. You're going to lighten up here. Yeah. Okay, not exactly that kind of lightening up, but listen, it says we are not to go about in all kinds of rivalries and jealousies. Now, what that's really about is, you know, we got these thin skins, man. We are so, if we're not careful, we're so thin-skinned. Everything offends us, and I'm offended, and I'm upset, and I'm angry, and I can't stand you, and I hate you, and get out of my life, and all that stuff. All those rivalries, all those factions, all those dissensions, all that enmity and that strife, so much of it just comes from the fact that we are so thin-skinned. And you know, we as Christians have to toughen up a lot because we live in a world that scorns a lot of our core beliefs. We can't let that get to us. I'm upset now, I'm angry, and we'll either hide or we'll become overly combative. We got to stay in a conversation where we have confidence and our trust is in God, see? And so much, though, we get into these things about my little ego got wounded and I'm upset. I need a safe zone. I feel a microaggression here. Somebody help me out. Keep me safe. Your job and my job isn't to stay safe. It's to preach the gospel in season and out of season. And that requires a little bit of a toughening of our skin and a kind of a lightening up. When people laugh or scorn, shake it off. It's not really you they hate. It's Jesus. See? So again, don't take so many things so personally is the advice we're being given here, right? That's what Paul's saying to us, see? Now, don't go upon being a sociopath either. I don't give a rip what anybody thinks, you know? I mean, that's the other extreme, right? But, you know, just learn that an awful lot of the scorn and the ridicule or some of the personal things that don't always go your way or my way. You know, that's all part of God's plan to keep us humble. Okay? But don't, just lighten up a little and be willing to take a few jabs. You know, I don't know if you know this, but you're hard to live with. I'm not hard to live with, but some of y'all are, okay? And, you know, a little correction, a little bit of these things are good for us, right? See? Okay. So that helps us to get ready, see? And even very vicious opponents who unjustly do things to us, God permits a little of that too, to keep us both humble, but also to help us. As Jesus says elsewhere, when you're persecuted, it will lead to your giving testimony. Sometimes our enemies give us a little bit of a gift in a strange package. They help us to think, well, why do we teach this? Why does this matter? What really is important here? When you get a little pushback, you can tighten up your own understanding and your own arguments about things, you see? All right, we're supposed to wake up, we're supposed to clean up, sober up, lighten up, and then finally, dress up. Dress up. And again, here too, we're not just talking about our threads. We're talking about the righteousness of Christ. You see, he says that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a common image in the scriptures. It comes up in Colossians. It also comes up in the book of Revelation regarding the bride, the church. She was given a long white robe to wear, and the robe is the righteousness of the saints. So God clothes us in righteousness. And so this then kind of summarizes all this. You know, we got to get rid of some of these things, and we got to take on this, allow the Lord Jesus Christ to clothe us in righteousness, in a holy attire. And he will do that if we but just let him. He simply says, you need to learn. He's saying through St. Paul, you got to wake up. There's a work to do. You got to get ready for judgment. Yes, indeed. And you got to clean up. You got to look seriously to the sins in your life, and you got to let me help you to do that and help you to get over them and master them. You got to sober up, get a good, clear mind. You've got to lighten up a little. You're going to be attacked, and don't take so many things so personally. And then finally, if you do all that and I help you to do it, you're going to be dressed up. You're going to be ready for the judgment day. Ready for it. Who of you going to court, especially if you're the defendant, wouldn't dress up a little, get your hair combed? Come on, y'all. So again, the Lord is saying to us, get ready. And here in St. Paul, he gives us a kind of a recipe for readiness. Maybe just to sum it all up, I would say that some songs that come to mind, be ye also ready, you know not the day, will you be ready? When Jesus comes, says that song. Another song just says, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The day is drawing nigh. You know, just sinner, just keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Be like the wise virgin who had oil for their lamp, and when the groom came, they were ready to greet him. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. A recipe for readiness.